Consider that now. The love of God being perfected in you. You will give, imagine all the people you're going to meet throughout your life and days. You're going to present them with the perfected love of God. Now, what if you did this before you got married? You'll attract a person that embraces that kind of love. Unfortunately, sometimes people meet their spouse before they learn to walk in this love. And God put enmity between his seed and Satan's seed. So the faster you walk in the love of God, the better things can work out for you. And you'll choose a better mate, and the right mate will choose you, or it's more apt to happen anyway. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit, a portion of his spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God and God dwells in him, he and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Verse 16, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwells in God and God in him. How wonderful. Now watch verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now watch this. Because as he is, so are we in this world. If you endeavor to be like Jesus and be his student, and he's your master, he's your Lord, he's your King and your Savior, and you aspire to live in his likeness, it will enhance your personality, because your personality will become covenant appropriate. The man that was once quiet, he will be covenant appropriate when he needs to speak. A person that talks too much and loud, that can be valuable, but his ways will become covenant appropriate. He will even be quiet when it's covenant appropriate to do so. Not to mention the wisdom that flows from his mouth at the right time. He's covenant appropriate. When it's time to do battle, he'll contend for the faith and always do it in love, which is covenant appropriate. He will live and govern his life in the wisdom of God. And again, by the glory that's on his life, is that's invisible. It doesn't light up brighter than the sun. You can't see it with the eye, but it's there, causing him to be covenant appropriate. See, when you walk in that kind of glory, when you walk in the wisdom of God's word, you're living in another realm. You're living in a greater stage. You're living in another stage of the glory of God. And everybody can see it and sense it and know it's there. When they say your name, they think of good things. A positive person, a person that loves God, a person that's wise, a person that has value, they speak valuable words. If somebody lied on them, everybody's going to look at that person that lied on them. I know not to trust you, because you talked about the man that loves God. Even if they don't love God, they know that somebody's lying on him, because they know his character, because the glory is on his life. But the glory on our lives are invisible. It's invisible. You don't see light like you did on Adam and Eve and Moses. You see example that comes from the love of God from the inside. It's amazing. Now watch this. A person that used to be fearful, people confuse that with personality, but it's not. Everybody that's fearful, that's not in their makeup. God didn't give them that. They may have acted that way since they were children. They may have acted afraid all of their life and all every night in their life, everywhere they go. But that it didn't come from God. So when that person gets to know the Lord and walk in the greater glories, they grow from glory to glory. That perfect love will operate in them. So something has to happen to the fear that God didn't give them in the first place. Watch verse 18. John said, there is no fear in love. But perfect love, agape love, casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. See, the Greeks have a different words for different types of love, and agape is the kind that Jesus had. That's what they call agape love. But the love of God is, I believe, is even greater than agape love. That's just what they labeled it. So, but there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now watch this part. We love him because he first loved us. So we love and trust Jesus because he first loved us. We love and trust the Father because he sent Jesus, who willingly came and got us out of our misery. We love God because he first loved us. He kept covenant and made sure Jesus came about. And Jesus willingly came about, just like Isaac willingly laid his life down for Father Abraham to sacrifice him. But you know the story, the angel stopped him, and the covenant was sealed, and God kept his part. This is why we love God, because he got us out of our debt. He got us out of sin. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? We love God, and we never seen him, because his love is example to us from generation to generation. Our parents, our friends, everybody that gets born again, example that agape love of God to us afresh. And when we trust Jesus, we come to life, and we feel it. We know it. We have peace, whereas before we didn't. And if you follow that peace, you're going to always, you'll never have a problem entering into the greater glories of God. If the peace of God, if you can follow through with the peace of God, you will never have a problem entering the greater glories. And this, and the glory that we're walking in, it, you know, pre-Jesus coming back, it's invisible. Most of the time it's invisible. It can light up. I'm gonna tell you something. If you grow from glory to glory, if the Lord wants it to, he can turn the lights on that glory. And people will see you. They'll see it lit up just like Adam and Eve and Moses. But most of the time, God keeps it off. He wants people to see who he is, more than a miracle. I'm going to read verse 20 again. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Now watch verse 21. And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. So the way we love each other is the way we love God. And when we love God sincerely, we sincerely love everybody. And see, love believes all things. So whenever something that is of God or spoken of someone that God sent, it's detectable because there's a glory on it. It's up to you at that point to walk in it. But see, I always tell people too, the opposite is always true. You can't follow God with a satanic mind or a worldly mind. If you study how Satan fell, he wanted preeminence. He wanted to be the greatest. He tried to exalt himself five times, which means that there are five classes much greater than he is. Just like angels, we're made a little lower than the angels. God made us out of the dust of the world, while he made them out of precious stones and precious jewels. And Lucifer was made out of all of them. I mean, it labeled everything he was made of. He even had pipes made in him, musical instruments made in his body. How cool is that? We're made out of the dust of the earth. And don't get me wrong, Lucifer had a glorious purpose, but he despised what God gave him for preeminence. So I've seen this seems to happen more than I desire to talk about it. I've seen people get jealous or they seem to have Cain or even Saul jealousy against people that could do greater than them, to the point that they despise them, or they don't. It's just like Diotrephes when John was still living. He didn't want John around because he wanted the preeminence. Let's see, that's in 3 John, I believe. Let's see. It's so long since I read that. But sometimes people don't always want. They love, if they love darkness, then it keeps them from entering into the glory. Here it is. Verse 9. This is 3 John 1, verse 9. It says, I'm going to read it to give you I don't like talking about the Cain and Saul jealousies that I've encountered. But the only reason I do it, and I want you to understand, I've forgiven those guys, those people that did this. But I've seen the aftermath of how it hurt people that really love God. And that's not good to treat people, God's people, or cause somebody to stumble. You'll get in a heap of trouble that way. 3 John 1. So if God got you in ministry, if you're a pastor or a leader, or God has given you a platform and a position to be a blessing, use it faithfully. Do it with the mind of Christ, never the mind of the enemy. Because if you hurt somebody, you know, if you devastate somebody with your words, that's not good for you. And it's God can't grow your ministry any further than you have to repent from that. Okay, let's look at it. Here it is, 3 John chapter 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This is John talking here. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and stranger. But let me read that again. Verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. I'm going to tell you something. The early church, they didn't always get rewarded by man for their efforts, because Gentiles didn't pay tithes. They took nothing of the Gentiles. Gentiles weren't used to that. That was a Jewish custom, or a Jewish everlasting covenant, not a Gentile covenant. Okay, verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I'm going to tell you something. When they went out and ministered to the Gentiles, sometimes they had to work, or somebody had to work to finance it, because Gentiles didn't give money. Now watch verse 9. This is what I was getting to. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Now this is Saul jealousy at this point. And not content therewith, neither doeth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. Because he loved preeminence. I guarantee his ministry didn't grow any further than right there, unless he repented, because, and hated his ways and actions, because you cannot enter into the glories of God with a satanic mind. Then verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. They don't understand. They'll be like those that Daniel wrote about. The wicked will do wickedly and not understand. Now that the wicked are going to, they're guaranteed to do wicked, and they're also guaranteed to not understand. So even people that go this route, even though they once had a relationship with God, like the Laodicean church, you can't be lukewarm unless you really did know God. They really did know God, but they left their first love and ended up in a rebellious state. And you know, if they didn't come snap out of it when Jesus said it, God always, as good as he is, he give us his love is just glory. He give us a space of time to repent. But the Laodicean church are tares. Remember, they're miserable. They're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Naked means they're without covenant. They don't have on their kingly robe or their priestly robe. They're naked. They don't even have fig leaves. And they think they're approved. Just because they have possessions, they think they're honored by God. But when they die, they fall in the pit. Because they're tares. They became that way. They became devil children. Wretched. But see, and that doesn't have to happen. Verse 11 says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. And don't be afraid that you'll be evil either. Don't be afraid of anything. Just love God and keep his commandments. Love God and love his people. Love God and let your light shine. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. Demetrius has good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record that ye know that our record is true. I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you of this sort, you know. But I trust that I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet thy friends by name. Demetrius, to me, if he was anywhere near Diotrephes, he broke through. He didn't let the crimes and ways and evil passions of Diotrephes get on him. He broke through it. But that Diotrephes, he went negative. He went to the negative. But see, the glory of God, I watch people, I love to watch the Victory Channel, and I notice that, and my pastor does it too, he teach people about healing. Now, Jesus gave us healing, and he gave us great abilities. And I started realizing something. The Lord wants us to walk in the glory that we recognize. Christ can be formed in us. And we can learn of God, and we can live in healing. We can live in victory, folks. We don't ever have to get sick. I know we're at war, but I'm gonna tell you something, and I'll close with this. If you keep delving into the, or embracing, I say embracing, the things of God, receiving it, believing it, acting on it, and growing and keeping God first. Let God guide you. He can do so in a way where you'll be just like Jesus was, going about doing good, letting your light shine. And I'm going to tell you something. Miracles happen mostly to get people in the kingdom. But once you're in the kingdom of God, God expects you to learn and be faithful with what he's given. And that's your reasonable service. The point I'm trying to make is this. I thank God for every student that's aspiring to love the Word of God, that dedicate themselves to learn from these great men and women of God. But people don't have to struggle with healing, you know, when they need it. The Lord told me it's as easy as picking fruit. You got to learn to think covenant. And don't try to use your strength to do it. Use His. Embrace that agape love of Jesus. Walk in it. Live in it. Expect it. Ask God questions. Enter into the glories. And don't ever shun learning from God. When people say things that you normally wouldn't listen to, and God used them to be a blessing, listen to them. They don't have to be your pastor. They don't even have to be in your organization. They can be much younger, but if God is using them and receive what they can do for you. I listen to other people that, and I can tell that they've been taught differently. But I look at what God is doing. I look at the dreams that God gives. I look at the words that God gives them. They're speaking it according to how they understand. But you can see what God is doing. What God has given them is good. You know, Henry Gruber, he did things differently than Kenneth Hagin. But he got the job done. Kenneth Hagin did things differently than Henry Gruber. And he did his will. He did God's will for his life. And Henry Gruber did God's will for his life. I can tell when they were not taught like I was taught. But that, guess what? That's all right. God can still use them in a mighty way. And you have to stick with the glory. And if you see something that they missed, understand it and take the high road. Sometimes our greatest teachers did things, they missed it somewhere. And you can tell it. If you have the comparison, you can tell. But just stick with what God is doing. That's what I want you to. If you see something in me, hear something I said that's just not right, receive what was right and use it. And see what was wrong for what it is. And don't do that. I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. I don't want to mislead nobody. So consider these things. Walk in the light. Because there are so many glories that we need to enter into. And there's so much wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, might that we need to bring into this realm. There are books, songs, that until Jesus part the sky and come here, we need to be filling the air with covenant appropriate glories from God. And I call it glories because it could be a song, it can be a book, it can be teaching, whatever. We need it. And you need to do your part. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. He does. That agape love, that Jesus love. And His return is imminent. And His return is soon. He'll continue to mightily move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Always be covenant appropriate. Covenant joyful. Full of covenant laughter.